Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Fantasy Sports Today, the game day edition. I'm your host, Mike Blewett, joined by Jim Day and Scott Engel. So the best weekend in football got kicked off yesterday to one very competitive game, one not so much. We've been chatting a little bit early, a little disappointing on the AFC side. The NFC side, what can you say? To the victors go the spoils. The Rams beat the Cowboys 30-22 last night. It got started off, Scotty. First of all, welcome to the program.
Thank you, my friend. I would say this personally the second best weekend of football. I love the championship games, but nonetheless, at least the night game was a little bit enjoyable.
Yeah, it was. You know, it's interesting that it was 30-22, Jim, because you could say, and first of all, Scott Engel is found on Twitter at Scott E. Roto X. We're going to use his, he's the managing director of Roto Experts, and we're going to use his articles today to break down the previews of these games. But I will also welcome in Jim Day, can be found on Twitter at Fantasy Taz. And Jim, the interesting thing is that the Rams completely dominated the ground game in a way that Dallas did not give up rushing yards all year, but it was still sort of a game all the way throughout. They hit a couple of big plays to keep it close.
Yeah, no, they kept themselves in it just outside the reach of anybody who took them with the points, of course, which, you know, really frustrated a lot of people out there. The spread was either 7 or 7.5, depending on when you got it. And, of course, they lost by 8. But they kept themselves in the game. And, you know, the crazy thing is all season they gave up only 3 rushers for 100 yards. And in this game they gave up 2.
Yeah.
And the bigger thing to me is how did the Oakland Raiders let C.J. Anderson go?
Yeah, it is.
How could they not use this guy?
Yeah, it is pretty interesting. We'll dive into that really deep here in a second. I think it's a good question to start with. On the AFC side, Scott, look, the Chiefs, the game was over so early that there's almost very little commentary. I mean, trust me, we're going to do 20 minutes on it, but there's very little to dissect. The Chiefs just punched them in the mouth, and 18 minutes into the game, it's 17-0, and the Colts were basically dead in the water.
One thing I think you do take from the game, though, and you learn about, especially as a fantasy player going forward, is overreactions to weather. You know, everybody was, you know, watching the pregame and saw how much it was snowing, et cetera. But by the time the kickoff actually started, you know, a lot of the snow had dissipated, and it really didn't affect the Chiefs' offense at all.
True. All right, so let's dive. Let's start with Jim's comment on the Rams-Cowboys. They did not allow a 100-yard rusher. They allowed 2 yesterday. 178 rushing yards was the most yards they allowed in a game all year. And, Jim, they let up 170 rushing in the first half alone. It was 20 minutes time of possession in the first half for the Rams.
They just came out and just, you know, right away dictated what they wanted to do. And what that was run right into the teeth of the Dallas defense. You know, Dallas's rush defense has been stellar all year long. And, you know, Rams said, we don't care. We're going to run it right at you. And, you know, crazily enough, it wasn't Todd Gurley that really got it started. It was C.J. Anderson. He had 4 10-yard-plus rushes before Gurley or Ezekiel Elliott had one. He just came right out. And, you know, look, he was running well. But, man, the offensive line was opening up huge holes for him. That, you know, I mean, he wasn't getting touched until he was on the second level. And, you know, that Rams offensive line just controlled that line of scrimmage pretty much all day.
Yeah, Scott, those guys haven't missed a start all year. All five offensive linemen played all 16 games. So I think it speaks to what a cohesive unit they are. Even if they're not at the top level, the most talented, they are. And I've said this in the past about offensive lines. I always think back to the Giants lines of 10 years ago when they were when they won those Super Bowls. They had one guy on there, Chris Snee, who was a standout. But what was unique about them is that they spent a lot of time together. Kareem McKenzie, Dave Deal, Rich Soibert, Sean O'Hara. I mean, I can rattle those names off, and those are just five offensive linemen because they were together for so long. Same thing here. Havenstein, Saffold, Whitworth, the list goes on. So I think it is, to Jim's point, that offensive line is rolling along right now. And if there's anybody you're going to point fingers at from last night, it's that Dallas D-line. They just didn't hold up.
Yeah, it's and you think back to the Cowboys of the 90s, too, with their great offensive line. And, you know, that's the difference between Seattle this week and the Rams this week. Seattle's offensive line has improved, but it's still a work in progress, and Dallas was able to dominate up front, whereas they just got pushed around everywhere yesterday, you know, at the first level, at the second level, the defensive line, the linebackers, et cetera. And when you look at what this Dallas defensive front has done, it was very impressive. And it gets me to thinking about fantasy football, too. It's, you know, people don't want certain players represented in the game. You know, I'd love to, like, find a way to get offensive lines involved like we do with defenses. Like, for every sack that a line allows, you lose half a point, and you get bonus points if running backs gain 100 yards.
Yeah, or big plays or big runs like Jim was talking about last night, C.J. Anderson with the explosive runs. Look, Jim, he's reminding me a little bit now. He's like the new Mike Tolbert. He's not in the best shape. He's a little short. He's a little stocky. He's got a little gut going. But he was awesome last night. 23 carries, 123, two touchdowns. They dominate. We've said it a couple of times already, but when you talk about the Cowboys losing the rushing advantage 273 to 50 and the time of possession 36 to 23, it's miraculous that they only lost by eight.
I totally agree. Didn't see them shutting down Elliott as easily as they did. And, you know, even when they shut him down in the running game, you know, Dallas never got him going in the passing game either. So, you know, it just nothing coming from that side of the ball until late in the game when they finally started to try and make some kind of push here. And it was weird because, I mean, that first drive, they looked incredible. Right down the field, did a good job, you know, get right in the end zone, made it look easy, and then it just all came apart after that.
Yeah, Scott, 22 touches for Zeke, 66 yards. He does get a score, so from a fantasy standpoint, not a disaster, you know, 6 points, a couple PPR points, touchdown. He's up in the 13, 14-point range. So not a disaster, but at 22 touches, you expect a lot more yardage out of Zeke.
Yeah, you certainly do. But, you know, they really said, I think they expected him to run on the edge, and they were able to snuff him out. You know, that fourth and one, and turned out to be huge. You know, not every superstar is going to have a great game every week, but, you know, everybody talks about the Rams' offensive line. You know, the defensive front played terrific as well. You know, they dominated the Dallas offensive line as well, and the Cowboys were both in adverse running and passing situations yesterday.
Jim, did you see any of the C.J. Anderson thing coming at all? I faded Gurley on DFS just because he's coming off an injury. He looks healthy to me, but did you see the C.J. Anderson? I mean, he carried the ball 7 more times than Todd Gurley did. Todd Gurley caught 2 passes, so the advantage in touches was 23 to 18. I mean, I didn't expect that at all.
No, and Gurley even, you know, out-snapped him. He had more snaps than Anderson did. But, they, you know, once Anderson got going early, at that point, why not keep giving him the ball, especially when you know Gurley has, you know, coming off the injury. But then late in the game, you know, all of a sudden it was back to Gurley being, you know, the main ball carrier at the end of the game, because mainly because I guess they trusted him more, and I guess he felt fine health-wise, and they didn't really have any issues with that. But, you know, C.J. Anderson, I've been saying it all year, I couldn't understand why he couldn't get a job running for somebody. This is a guy coming off a 1,000-yard season last year. Now, I get it in Carolina, you're not taking the ball out of McCaffrey's hands. I get that. But the fact that he went to Oakland and Oakland couldn't use him over Doug Martin, I'm pretty sure they're sitting there feeling pretty stupid this morning.
Yeah, but he is an indicator.
Sometimes it's about stuff that we don't see, that it's behind the scenes, you know, things like that. You know, we don't know what's going on in his personal life, et cetera. And, you know, I can only guess it's to something like that, or maybe it was the weight. It's probably something we don't see on the surface.
Yeah, and I'm not picking on him. I'm not fat shaming the guy. I mean, he's got a little bit of a gut going. You know, it's not normally something you see out of an NFL running back. Mike Tolbert was always the kind of the exception to the rule. So maybe Gruden didn't think he was in
shape. Tolbert never rushed for 100 yards,
though.
That's
for true.
Yeah, really.
That's true. Certainly not in a playoff game. But, there was a moment, and I'm going on Twitter during the game just to see if I can catch a piece of news from somebody, and I'm just wondering, like, well, what's up with Gurley? Like, is he coming back? But at the same time, it doesn't really matter because Anderson's running all over them. And then it was telling, to your point, Jim, about the snaps. There was a moment where they got down into the red zone and Gurley came back in and ran a pass route. And it sucked in the defense because they thought Gurley was going to be running it. And I was like, all right, he's fine. McVay's just working all the options right now. That was the story of the game. Kudos to Dallas for keeping it close. They hit the big play with Amari early, kind of a blown coverage there. There was another blown coverage late on a great catch by Michael Gallup. So the Rams still have to clean some things up. Look, if the Saints are playing their best game and the Rams play like they did last night and don't punch in a couple of opportunities and blow coverages like that, they'll lose to the team playing their best game, Scott, because the Rams were good last night, but there was a little bit of sloppy play too.
There was, you know, but they did what they had to do to win.
Yeah.
They're going to have to be more on point to go to New Orleans next week. But if the Eagles pull an upset, you know, they're at home. Maybe they have a better shot. Jared Goff did make any mistakes. The passing game wasn't explosive. They did make some mistakes in the secondary, which they'll have to watch. But ultimately, they did whatever they had to do to win.
Yeah. Big penalty, obviously, on Tlaib. It really helped to keep that game close. I don't love the call, Jim, but Tlaib's got to be more careful than that.
Especially a vet like him who's had so many years in this league and knows how the game goes. Yeah, you can't give that up. That was ridiculous.
Back to the line of scrimmage. He's messing with the guy at the end line. Like, guys are going to get calls like that. So, I hate the frequency with which pass interference is called, but it is called with that frequency. So you have to be more careful. And Amari shoved him just as much as he shoved Amari. So I like the transition that you made, Scott, to the quarterback play. So Goff's biggest play of the night, Jim, was a rushing play for the first down to ice the game. He goes 15 of 28, 186. You're not writing home about that kind of performance, but when you're running the ball like that, you're not going to be asked to do a lot. 6 of 69, Robert Woods. 4 of 65, Brandon Cooks. They used Higbee a few times. They tried to get Josh Reynolds in the action, and Josh Reynolds will officially slaughter all my DFS lineups along with Nyheim Hines. But Goff played the game he needed to play.
Yeah, really. There's not much you can say about it. We've seen that before. You know, when they get into this running groove and the running game is dominating a game, Goff doesn't have to do much. And, you know, it's not like it's only him. We've seen that with plenty of good quarterbacks. You know, if one aspect of the game is controlling the game, there's really no need for the other one to really come into play in a huge way. And that's what we saw here. Goff did exactly what he needed to do to win this game. And that was handed it off to two good running backs that were playing excellent game at the time.
Yeah. So on the flip side, Dak goes 20 of 32 for 266 and a score, 99 quarterback rating. Michael Gallup, 6 for 119. Amari Cooper, 6 for 65. And really, that's about it. Nobody else of note caught any passes. I mean, a couple of passes to Blake Jarwin, a couple of passes to Zeke Elliott, but that's really it. I think earlier that Gallup scored a touchdown, but he was down to the one. A great catch, 6 for 119 for Gallup. So Dak played fine, Scott. But again, when Dallas is rushing for 50 yards and has 23 minutes time of possession, they're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, Dak was erratic. He scattershot. You know, one, like Mark Slayer said on Twitter, one minute he's making that great pass to Gallup, and then the next he's missing a 4-yard slant. So he's capable of coming up with the big plays, but consistency is a real issue for him.
Yeah, I think that's the story on Dak, Jim. That's what we've seen so far in his career, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's not as bad as a lot of people make him out to be, but he's inconsistent.
Totally agree.
You know, but and that's something that, you know, a lot of quarterbacks suffer from. It's not only him, but you know, at some point, you know, you got to put some of this back on Jason Garrett as well, and just play calling and things like that. It just doesn't seem like he ever seems to really get into any kind of rhythm.
I was about to say, if only there was a resource somewhere on the team that had maybe played quarterback in the NFL that could lend some insight to Dak, perhaps put him in the best position to succeed. I think that's what people get frustrated about, that Garrett and Linehan do not put him in the best position to succeed. But last night, the story was that the defensive line got dominated. So we're going to come back, talk Chiefs Colts after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
This Sunday morning, Fantasy Sports Today. It's the game day edition. Doing some recaps of yesterday's games. Getting you started for the Sunday games. Big day in New England. Big day in the Big Easy. And if you like to wager on sports, or never have and would like to try, head on over to BetDSI. They have wagering options for almost any sport you can think of, including sides, totals, and player props, where you can utilize your DFS skills without salary cap constraints. You can even wager on esports, politics, and reality TV. So get an edge with live betting at BetDSI, where you can wager virtually any time during a contest, capitalizing on in-game circumstances. There's just a ton of ways that you can make money. So use the promo code FNTSY101 when signing up and get a 100% bonus deposit match. So head on over and open your account at BetDSI. That's promo code FNTSY101 to get your 100% bonus deposit match. Again, hit us up today on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Scott is at Scott E. Roto X. And Jim Day is at Fantasy Taz. Thanks for listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, on TuneIn, on iHeart, and anywhere else that we can be found. So turning the page over to Chiefs Colts. I was just rewatching it this morning. It's kind of a bummer because that game is 17-0. First of all, the Colts get the ball, don't do anything with it. Chiefs, again, an analogy being used too often today. Chiefs punch them in the mouth, score right away. Chiefs come down, score again. It is 14-0 8.5 minutes in. It is 17-0 after 18 minutes. I mean, they were dead in the water, Scott.
Yeah, pretty much right from the get-go there. The defense really couldn't handle Kansas City's big plays at all. And offensively, you got to give the Chiefs a lot of credit for playing really good defense. They dominated up front, probably the best defensive game they played all year. If Luck's receivers weren't dropping passes, he was getting hit, he was getting hurried, etc. The Colts had an NFL low 18 sacks allowed this year, but the Chiefs did lead the NFL with tied with the Steelers for 55 sacks. But it seemed like with Luck's quick release, etc., that he was going to have the time to throw. But the secondary did a really good job on their receivers. I think the Colts in the offseason have to look for another significant wide receiver to pair with T.Y. Hilton.
There's maybe one huge one available, and they have salary cap room. Three sacks allowed yesterday, Jim. Three sacks allowed yesterday by the Colts, to Scott's point. It was, you know, the unstoppable force versus the immovable object. The team with the least allowed sacks versus the team with the most sacks. And the Chiefs did get to him three times, and a few more hurrying him.
Yeah, but it wasn't even any of that to me. It seemed like right off the bat, first series, I mean, they tipped two passes right off the bat.
Yeah.
And it seemed like there it put Luck in a cocoon, because from there on out, it didn't look like he was actually throwing the ball to me. From there on out, every pass seemed like he was just trying to push the ball towards a receiver, and they were all coming in low or short or behind the receiver. He didn't look like he felt comfortable at all in that pocket trying to throw the ball. I just don't see it. To me, that this whole game came down to Luck and him just looking totally lost.
So I talked the other day on FST with Dane Martinez. We talked to Davis Maddock, who lives literally a couple of miles from Arrowhead Stadium. And we were talking how the Chiefs are unique in that some people were creating the narrative that, well, Marlon Mack was really good last week, and the Colts will try to get that going again and keep Pat Mahomes off the field. The reality is that the Chiefs don't care. They can score so quickly, they don't really need to win the time of possession. However, they did an unbelievable job running the ball yesterday and keeping Andrew Luck off the field. 180 yards rushing. Time of possession yesterday, 39 minutes and 49 seconds for the Chiefs and 20 minutes and 11 seconds for the Colts. So to all our points about Luck.
And that was the story in the other game, too, about how the Rams dominated time of possession when the Cowboys usually do. Yes. And to Davis's point, it's very hard to predict game flow, because you could look at it like, okay, this team should do this, and that the coaches don't necessarily have the same game plan that you do. So it's very hard to predict game flow.
Yeah, but I think what's telling about yesterday, well, first of all, Luck couldn't get into a rhythm. We're talking about that. He only had 20 minutes to do it. So that's part of it. But another part of it is that the Chiefs have so many damn weapons that they can pick your poison, I guess is the phrase I'm looking for, because 180 yards rushing, Damian Williams, you better have had in your DFS lineups at 5,100 on DraftKings, 30 touches, 154 yards and a touchdown. Pat Mahomes gets a rushing touchdown. He throws for 278 yards. Jim, he didn't even need to be great. He just needed to be out there, handing the ball off.
Yeah, he did what he had to do. And, you know, the one thing I love about this kid is nothing seems to bother him.
I agree.
He doesn't care if you rush him. I don't care how many people you throw at him. He's going to throw the ball either over the top. He's going to throw it underhand. Whatever he has to do to get the ball to his receivers. And he does it so well. You know, half the time he's not even looking where he's throwing. I love when quarterbacks do that, because defenses, if you can't read a quarterback's eyes, you're playing from behind right off the bat. And that's one of the things he does so well, is he definitely does not stare off his receivers. He plays his eyes very well, keeps the defense looking where he wants them to look, and then he goes the other way. This kid is a special talent, and he's playing a very good, you know, strength of football right now. He's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, Scott, I think Jim makes a really good point, is that He seems completely comfortable in his own skin. He threw 50 touchdowns this year to 12 picks. And yesterday, he did throw the ball 41 times, but they played a little bit more ball control passing. And he's not forcing the issue into the end zone. He's not making – there are times where he makes dumb throws. And I put that in air quotes. It's interesting because he can actually make some of those dumb throws because his arm is so strong. But yesterday, look, they managed the Colts right off the field. Travis Kelce, 7 for 108. Tyreek Hill, 8 for 72. But don't forget the 36-yard rushing touchdown. Sammy Watkins, where's he been? 6 for 62. And Damian Williams catches the 5 passes for 25 yards. There's some people that were saying they're really going to miss Kareem Hunt this time of year. Didn't look like it yesterday, Scott.
Yeah, it's the offense was it's interesting how explosive they are because the offense was more efficient than anything. And just Damian Williams is so impressive, you know, the way he can be he's not afraid of contact, but he can also be explosive. Having Sammy Watkins back was a plus. Mahomes tried to make some downfield throws, but, you know, that seemed to be if he hit them, it was going to be the cherry on top because he just had to be efficient yesterday. It's, defense played so well that the offense didn't have to overexert themselves.
The Dolphins released Damian Williams. They replaced him with Frank Gore, who was good this year, but it's odd to me that a younger running back with this kind of ability. And we see two guys yesterday, actually, Jim. You brought up the point.
We saw that. CJ Anderson saw that and Damian Williams too when he got to play too.
Yeah, I agree. Like last year, I remember there was debate as to who would be behind Ajay if Ajay goes down, and then Ajay got traded, and it ended up being Kenyon Drake. But I always was wondering like why Damian Williams didn't get more burn, but it's probably all good for him. It's just interesting, Jim, that two guys yesterday are guys that were cast off by other teams and completely dominant rushing performances in critical playoff games.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It always makes me wonder how some of these guys are in front office jobs when they can't evaluate talent. And, you know, guys in Oakland, at least he's, you know, McKenzie is no longer in that job. He can't really feel bad about it now, but I'm sure the team is. Look, it is what it is. Some guys have other reasons why they don't want players on the team. Like Scott says, there's always stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. But, you know, I couldn't see why this kid wasn't getting a shot somewhere. Again, coming off a 1,000-yard season last year, it's not like this is a guy who's never done it before. And C.J. Anderson, he's done it before. So it was surprising to me that nobody really wanted to take a shot on it. And then, look, it works out the best for him. He's got a very good chance now to go to the Super Bowl with a team where a couple of weeks ago he was sitting on the sidelines doing nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're a Jets fan, too, you look at this as another mistake by Adam Gase, making a mistake, you know, not getting along with Jay Ajayi, running him and Jarvis Landry out of town, clashing with Devontae Parker, never realizing what Damian Williams was, not giving Kenyon Drake more touches. So I think, Adam Gase came into Miami with the same goals that they have for the Jets, was to improve the quarterback position and the offense, and he didn't do it.
That's a can of worms, we're going to talk about that later. I would disagree on only one thing, Ajay. I think Ajay's got chronic injury issues, and I can't criticize a team for moving on from him if they felt like who they had was talented. And for some reason, they stopped using Kenyon Drake at points during this year, but they at least had an adequate, if not good, backup. As far as improving the quarterback position, you know, he's got his work cut out for him now, but I think he had his work more cut out for him down in Miami because he was dealing with an oft-injured guy who probably doesn't have the top-level talent that Sam Darnold might, Scott.
He's had one impressive year, Adam Gase, yeah. And that was because of Peyton Manning. You know, he didn't do much with Jay Cutler either.
Yeah, yeah, true. So back to the Chiefs-Colts, Jim. As far as fantasy hopes and prayers, you didn't get much out of Luck, 203, and a touchdown. Marlon Mack, 9 carries for 46 yards. Again, they only had the ball for 20 minutes. In speaking to how they were off, you know, Luck getting pressured, the tip balls, they had 10 penalties yesterday, too. They're typically a pretty disciplined team, but the 10 penalties goes a long way to putting them in that spot, too. Nyheim Hines, 3 carries for 24 yards. They didn't throw him the ball, which I don't understand. How do they not throw him the ball? It's $3,300 on DraftKings. I just needed like 7 points. Just 7 points, and I could be fine with it. Instead, he didn't even get that many.
Even if they threw him the ball, it wasn't like Luck was going to get it to him the way Luck was throwing.
True.
I'm telling you, it really comes down to that for me. It's just Luck just looked like he was totally in a shell trying to throw the ball. I keep envisioning it basically like he was trying to shot put it to his receivers instead of rearing back and throwing the ball. Yeah. And then when you at the fact that, you know, this was just a game where nothing went right for them. When you got a guy like Adam Vinatieri missing a field goal and an extra point, hitting it off the upright, you know, the game is just not going in your favor. Yeah. It's just not going in your favor.
I agree.
Pack it up and go home.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton.
He was guiding the ball more than he was throwing it. It's almost when a baseball pitcher
aiming it
tries to place the ball rather than throw it. And I'm wondering why Luck looked like that. There's nothing I can point to. I don't know if the weather was in his head or not.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton.
No, I think it was those early tip passes that threw him off. Sorry, Mike.
That's all right. T.Y. Hilton, I just wanted to throw a stat line out. He does save your bacon if you used him 4 for 60 for the touchdown. That was actually a pretty good throw by Luck on that touchdown pass. So at least he didn't bottom out with Luck and Hilton if you stack them up, but you're behind the eight ball a little bit. Dontrell Inman, 4 catches for 55. Eric Ebron, you can't really complain about a stat line like that. He got the 9 targets, 5 for 51. You've been relying on touchdowns from him all year, but if you're in a PPR league and he got you 10 points, you take that and run with it. The only touchdown they had scored in the first half was on the blocked punt, so... So there you go. The one interesting thing, you know, Clark Hunt is talking after the game. He's really thrilled to have the AFC Championship game at home. It seems weird that a team with this kind of history is never hosted the AFC Championship game before. But you think back and it kind of makes sense. They were dominant when it was the AFL, not the AFC. So good for them, Scott.
Certainly good for them. Now Kansas City moves on and, for the winner of the Chargers and the Patriots. And I really feel like they could beat New England, but the Chargers have seen them twice already, so that'll be even a better game.
Yeah. I'll say this. I hedged this game all week, and by yesterday morning when I woke up, I was like, man, I don't think the Colts are going to come close here. I thought the Chiefs are going to be a little bit too much coming off the bye. So I'm on record as saying I thought the Colts would cover and lose. I think I picked 28-24, so my bad. But if I'm being honest, money would have been down on the Chiefs to cover that weird spread at 5. So
Jim, I had the Colts win it outright. So
there you go. Jim, yeah. Last thing on this one. I've also been on record as saying I don't think the Chiefs are going to get to the Super Bowl. I've been worried about them, their inability to stop the run. And I thought the Pats, who I think are going to win today, are built to try to attack that. But if they play like they did yesterday, I take back what I just said.
The one thing, you know, and I agree with you at that. I mean, they played a great game. The defense played an outrageous game. Like Scott said, best game of the year defense played. And this is the time of year to do it, so kudos to them. But one of the things from this game, two of the things from this game, are really fantasy points for next year. Again, Ebron dropped a couple of balls he shouldn't have dropped. Could have been a couple of more big plays there for him. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, because of what he's done this year, he's going to be so overdrafted next year in fantasy drafts with Jack Doyle coming back. You can say what you want. Jack Doyle didn't have the year because of the injuries, all that stuff. But they still trust him a ton to catch the ball. And Ebron, you know, has been so up and down in his focus all year long. He's had a great season, of course, with all the touchdowns, all of that. But in amongst all of that, he still had plenty of games where he just didn't contribute the way they expected him to, drop too many passes, things like that. So he's going to be overdrafted next year because of that. So people, you know, just beware of that. And then the other side of the coin is Kansas City. Everybody's saying, oh, yeah, no way Damian Williams could be their starter next year. And I'm saying, why the hell not? How do you not let this guy be a starter? You just wrapped him up for 2 years with a nice contract that's
right.
cap-friendly, you know, and he's doing everything you want him to do. Like Scott said earlier, he runs inside with no problem. He runs outside with no problem, catches everything you throw to him. He's down the field blocking. You could put him out in the slot. Heck, they put him out wide a couple times. This kid does everything. And for the people out there that say he can't be their starter next year, I say you're dead freaking wrong.
Yeah, sometimes when a guy opens the season as a starter, it's more challenging, and we've never seen that from Damian Williams. But from what I saw in snippets with him with the Dolphins, I felt he could be this kind of player, so I agree.
A few defensive standouts yesterday, too. Darius Leonard, 14 tackles. Kenny Moore, 12 tackles and 2 sacks. Justin Houston with 2 more sacks. And Dee Ford was all over the place. He had a sack and a tackle for loss. A couple of QB hits. Good stuff. We're going to turn the page over to today's games after this. It's Chargers-Pats preview next on FST, the Game Day Edition. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back on FST, Game Day Edition. And if you're at the game, you just got a gut feeling, no problem. Now you can bet from anywhere, anytime with the all-new MyBookie mobile betting platform. With the MyBookie mobile platform, you'll enjoy the safety and convenience of at-home betting when you're on the go. So try it out today, and you'll never miss another winning bet. Head on over to MyBookie.ag and open an account with the promo code FNTSY, and MyBookie will match your deposit up to $1,000. Yeah, that's right, $1,000. MyBookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. So just a shout out to my compadres here. Jim Day was nominated. Both of them were nominated for Best Fantasy Radio Show. Jim Day in connection with the Fantasy Football Frenzy, which you can hear on weekdays here at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but download it to listen. They're here every day. It's Corey Parson, and very often Chris Ventura is with them as well. And conversely, Scott Engel, nominated for Roto Experts in the Morning, which has shifted time slots throughout this year, but currently and for a long time now, it has been on Mondays through Fridays from 7 to 8 a.m. in advance of FST. So that's Scott Engel and Dane Martinez. So good luck to both of them. As we find out in about a week and a half.
January 22nd and 25th is the Fantasy Sports Trade Association Conference in Tampa, Florida. I do believe it'll probably be on the second day, but don't quote me on that. These are the Fantasy Sports Trade Association Awards. Yeah. The Fantasy Sports Writers Association Awards are they haven't nominated the finalists yet, but this is the first time the Roto Experts in the Morning have been nominated for an FSTA award, so I'm very proud of it.
Which one did we win in the past? FSWA?
FSWA.
Got it.
We were nominated twice.
Got it. Good stuff. So congrats to you, Scott. And Jim, congrats to you, man. That's nice.
Yeah, thanks, man. Definitely cool to be in that solid group of people.
Yeah, a bunch of other shows nominated there. Brad Evans from Yahoo. I know his show has been nominated. Our buddy Adam Ronis is nominated for one of his shows. So a few others out there. You can get out there on Twitter and go to FS at FSTA, and you'll see some of the other nominations out there. So good stuff for those guys, and I wish them luck. I hope they tie. I hope it's a double victory for you guys, and you tie for the win. So we'll see what happens there. So, all right, on to today's games. Chargers, Pats. Bringing up the game. I'm bringing up the odds right now to make sure I have the latest. So it's now it's at 4 right now. Pats laying 4. Chargers 170 on the money line. The over is 47. So let me get, since Scott, since you wrote it up on rotoexperts.com, and please go to rotoexperts.com if you want to read a interesting preview, divisional breakdown on this one. Just give me your initial thoughts on this, and we'll dive deep into it between me, you, and Jim.
Well, obviously, when you look at postseason success, the Patriots and Brady and Belichick have the large advantage. Together, they're 27-10 in the postseason. They haven't lost a playoff home game since 2012 and haven't lost a divisional round game for 2010. Now, the popular narrative over across the country, because everybody hates the Patriots and wants to see them fail, is that they're not the team that they were. But, of course, they're not the team that they were. We can see that, but yet they were still the number two seed. You know, that shows how still good they are, that they were able to fall off and still be the number one seed. Phillip Rivers is 0-7 against Brady and Belichick, but you know, to the advantage of the Chargers, they haven't lost away from Los Angeles this year. You know, home field advantage for the other team really doesn't scare them at all. Phillip Rivers is coming off maybe what is his best season whatsoever. So maybe it's he's 500 all time in the playoffs, and the Chargers have never won a divisional game with him. Divisional round game with him. They lost once in 2007. But if any season where it seems like they may be able to get over the hump, this could be it. You know, he was the same splits at home on the road, 16 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. But defensively, Stephon Gilmore is going to be on Keenan Allen, so I think Mike Williams could have a big day. You could point to a lot of reasons why the Chargers are going to win, but their ground game has not been good. Melvin Gordon has rushed for 123 yards in the last 3 games. So I think there's going to be a lower-scoring game. I'm predicting Patriots 23, Chargers 17. I know everybody talks about the Chargers' momentum, but they're banged up in a lot of spots as well. Defensive. This could be more of a defensive game, but I like Brady and Belichick still at home, even though I feel like they're going to lose the AFC title game. I'm going to take them this week. They're undefeated at home this year.
Yeah, Jim, Tom Brady leads the NFL. He's the all-time postseason leader in these categories. Games played with 37, wins with 27, completions with 920, passing yards with 10,226, and touchdown passes with 71. Rob Gronkowski has 12 career playoff catches. He's tied with Hall of Famer John Stallworth for the second most in postseason history. So this game matches up as the highest combined age in a postseason game in NFL history. Tom Brady and Phil Rivers, a combined 28,688 days old, surpassing the Peyton Manning Tom Brady game from a couple of years ago by just 85 days. So there you go. Brady, all kinds of records. I'm, you know, before we'll get into the scores and everything else later. You can do it now if you like, but we'll get into it later. So people, we put it on record, but I'm leaning Scott's way. I think for the Chargers to come in here for a second, to go into the East Coast, a second week in a row, playing a 10 a.m. time slot on the road against a tough opponent. They played well last week. Even if they play well today, I think it's a lot to ask.
It is a lot to ask, and it really, you know, they have to play that perfect kind of game. And, you know, unfortunately, I was on both of the underdogs yesterday, and we saw how that worked out, although Dallas at least tried to make it a game. Colts were out of it too early, like you said, and just never rebounded. I'm on the underdog again today. I like the Chargers. I think this is a different Charger team than we've seen in the past. And, yeah, they do have some injuries. Allen's not 100%. Gordon's not 100%. And that could very well factor into it. Look, if they want to beat the Patriots, they're going to have to play a great game. They're going to have to get in Tom Brady's face. They're going to have to put pressure on him right from the get-go. You know, follow the same script that, you know, the teams that have beaten Brady have followed, namely the Giants. Get in Brady's face. Get him uncomfortable in that pocket, and you can beat him. You can force him to make errors, and that's exactly what they're going to have to do. Now, you know, we saw this defense really step up last week against Baltimore, and, you know, Melvin Ingram was just all over the field making play after play, and, of course, Joey Bosa's there. It's really going to come down to, you know, whether these two can get in Tom Brady's face and get him uncomfortable. I think they have a very good shot at it. I understand all the historical numbers go against the Chargers in this one, but I can't help it. I just think overall they are a better team.
I mean, I have said the key for the Chargers,
if they can run the ball, they're going to be able to stay in this game. If not, it's going to be tough for them, I think.
Yeah, but I'm worried about that because Gordon isn't 100%. Can I trust Eckler to pick up the slack or Justin Jackson?
He hasn't played well recently either.
Yeah, or Justin Jackson or anybody. Like, I just don't trust it. I think that's why you're leaning the Patriots as well. I don't think the Patriots run them off the field in any way. I just think that there's a lot of experience. People talk about, I think Scott framed it perfectly. People are talking about, oh, this isn't the same team. They only won 11 games. They didn't get home field advantage. Well, yeah, but they won the NFC, the AFC East for the 10th time in a row, shattering the previous record.
Come on, that's against the Dolphins, the Bills,
I get
and
that
the
their
Jets.
Division stinks, but they're still doing this. They're still this two seed. And people are comparing this Patriots team to other tremendous Patriots teams. And I think sometimes that's where it gets conflated into this not being a good team. What is unique about this is I have also said I think the Chargers are probably the most complete team in the AFC, A, and B, the Patriots have looked downright bad at times during the year. The Titans game, the Jags game, the Lions game. You don't normally see the Patriots put up huge duds like that, Jim.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of that was on Tom Brady in those games. I mean, missing, you know, throws he normally makes, you know, under-throwing deep passes that he always makes. So he's had some games this year where he looked human, no doubt, especially he looked all of his age human in doing so. But he is still Tom Brady, and, you know, this is a big game. Put all that stuff aside. This is the playoffs, you know. Win this game, they're one game away from once again going to the Super Bowl. So I get all of it, and I totally understand it. And again, you know, like I say, for the Chargers to win this game, they almost have to play a perfect game. No stupid mistakes, no turnovers, Reed. And no dumb penalties. I mean, definitely don't go make a great defensive, you know, play and then go up and grind against the referee like we saw yesterday. Yeah. Hey, that's a smart move.
Yeah, like a don't have a Tlaib kind of penalty late in the game to keep it close. The Pats will take advantage of that. So, Scott, we also, there's a narrative every week when the Patriots are playing a team that they're going to try to eliminate the top weapon that is available to Phil Rivers. So who is that today? Is it Keenan Allen? Is it Melvin Gordon? Who is it?
I think Mike Williams is the X factor for them. You know, because you're going to have Gilmore and Keenan Allen. So I think Mike Williams could actually step up. And if, you know, if he plays well in a playoff type atmosphere, people are going to mark this as his breakthrough game.
Jim?
Well, he already had a breakthrough game, though. The game Keenan Allen was out and they couldn't use him. All of a sudden, Mike steps up, two touchdowns all over the field making plays.
Yeah, but I mean, from a national perspective, this will be the game that a lot of people will point to, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, you and I and Mike know about this.
Yeah, I get that. I do. It, on a national stage, could be a huge step for him. And I would love to see it personally because I love this guy. I think he's going to be a great receiver in this league when and if, you know, they actually start trying to throw him the ball enough to make it, you know, a pertinent guy every week. I think he definitely takes that role. You know, I just wonder, you know, I know Gilmore is going to be on Allen, but I'm pretty sure Anthony Lynn is going to move Allen around so it's not always Gilmore right there in front of him. And they're going to find ways to create mismatches with Allen to get him involved because they will need him. in this game. And, you know, I do like Mike Williams. Even Tyrell Williams could be a dart throw if you're playing on a Sunday slate and you want a cheap player. You know, he could make one or two big plays as we saw him do earlier in the season. They're going to need all hands on deck because, like you said, Gordon's not 100%. Eckler's not 100%. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this game pans out. I don't know. I took the Chargers in the preseason. I'm sticking to my guns and saying they go in and beat New England.
You should do that. My co-host during the week, Dane Martinez, he just chickened out on Friday. He's picked the Chargers Rams from Jump Street. And I think you did as well, right? That's your Super Bowl pick.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So you guys have the same Super Bowl pick. And Dane on Friday is like, I'm not going to select this game because I don't want to bet against the Chargers. I'm like, well, you've got to pick somebody. He's like, I refuse to make a pick in this game. So I think he thinks the Chargers are going to lose, but he doesn't want to pick against them. I've been hedging in the way that I normally hedge. I'll take the points here. Pats to win a close one. I think Gostkowski maybe plays a role here. To Badgley's credit, the Chargers kicking game has been brutal, but he stepped up last week. He outkicked Justin Tucker, which is not an easy thing to do. We're talking special teams, by the way, a little added note. The Chargers signed Nick Rose this week in order to handle kickoffs. Badgley was only, I think, hitting touchbacks at a 17% rate, and Rose historically is about 68%. So they're trying to eliminate Cordero Patterson as a weapon, which is a smart play, right? The Patriots do everything they can to gain any kind of edge of field position, even if it's 2 yards of possession, while the Chargers are doing that too. They want to make sure that the Pats start at the 25 and no further along. Correct, Jim?
I agree, and that's I agree that it's a smart move. Any upside you can get, you have to take a chance for. Like you said, Belichick's been doing that for years, and it's the reason why this team has been so dominant for all those years is because he takes every edge he can get. Good to see somebody else trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, For some reason, when I was building lineups, I had a hard time keeping Michael Thomas in them. And I took him out of the lineup at the last minute yesterday. I had Kamara, I had Thomas, I had a whole bunch of other guys I was trying to use. But the one guy I really need today is Julian Edelman. I just think he's a safe play here, regardless of what this weather is going to be. And it's going to be really cold. There could be flurries, but I don't think there's expected to be any kind of significant snow. Maybe something like what we saw yesterday before Colts Chiefs. So I like Edelman in this game. I just always feel like he is there. Safety valve in some way, Scott. James White could be that guy too, but Julian Edelman is the chain mover for this team.
Yeah, but Julian Edelman's going against Desmond King. Not that he can't win that matchup, but James White's the real X factor. 15 targets in last year's Super Bowl. They have to get him involved like they were earlier in the season. First 10 games, he had 66 of his 94 catches. The Chargers allowed an AFC high 974 receiving yards to running backs this season. James White is the big chess piece. And I believe with Derwin James, I think who he covers is going to be based on game flow. If Gronk is quiet early and they figure that they can cover with somebody else and James White is going off, you might see Derwin James, you know, trying to shadow James White here. James White is a big, big X factor here for the Patriots today. Big key.
So, Jim, I'll pose this question to you.
Just to add to that real quick.
Yes, wait, go ahead.
Can I just add to that real quick? In their last 6 playoff games, of course, for the Patriots, all at home, White's actually had 8 touchdowns in those 6 games, and only one did he not do anything. He only had 8 yards and no touchdowns. Every other game, he had at least a touchdown, and in 2 of them, he had multiple touchdowns.
So James White's prop bet today, a combined scrimmage yards of 63.5 over or under.
I'm going to go over. I agree with Scott. I think he's going to be a big part of this game plan for them. I think they're going to want to get him involved. Everybody's looking at what he did the second half of the season, but look at what he did in the beginning of the season. He was just going nuts. And then, of course, Sony Michel came back and was healthy, and he started taking a lot of that work off. But then it seemed to me, anyway, that they were trying to keep James White healthy for the playoffs because he had such an early, heavy workload, and they know what they need from him in the playoffs. So I think we see a lot of
What's
James
funny
White
is there. That Michel is at a
He's going to double that number.
What specific?
Double that number. Wow.
Sony, yeah, I like that call. So Sony Michel, I mean, I wouldn't say he's going to do that, but I like the boldness of it. Sony Michel has barely been targeted this whole season. We'll come back. We'll talk Eagles Saints after this.